Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, that was a great, you did a Jacob live read.
Yeah, and then we doubled down on Jacob.
And they cut you off during your little tease for 2 o'clock?
You know, Bergman is just in a cranky-ass mood.
It is a live imagery Tuesday on Mason and Ireland.
You're tired, and he's cranky, and I'm holding the heat.
I'm trying to answer phone calls.
I'm bringing the heat, bringing the funk, bringing the noise.
Yes, you are.
On a Lakers game day
Ireland's
Tuesday.
Ireland's in San Francisco, by the way.
Can I get through my read?
Sure, go ahead.
It's a Lakers game day Tuesday presented by Michelob Ultra. Coverage begins tonight, 5:30 p.m. with the Toyota Lakers countdown to tip-off with Slee. At 7 p.m., John Ireland, Michael Thompson. Have all your play-by-play right here, your Lakers flagship radio station, 710 ESPN. I hit the mini post. It's a post
there,
within the post.
I don't think there was a post there.
There
on
was
this
a
Michael
post,
McDonald
because he went back
song.
To the chorus.
He was already singing.
He was already singing.
No, but he went
the
back.
The post starts
he went
when
back
he starts
to the hook.
Singing.
He went back to the hook. Did he not go back to the hook?
Yeah. Your
dad,
Lucho, would be
know, you
embarrassed
can't step
that
on
you
the
think
lyrics.
That's a post.
Well, we started with lyrics.
Exactly.
You know what, Mace?
Good afternoon, Mace.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, gutless.
So what's the Instagram thing that's so weird?
I thought you were doing call of the day.
I am going to do call. 877-710-ESPN.
This isn't good
we're
formatics.
Doing call of the day.
This isn't good formatics
for
people listening.
Formatics. It's
people
game
are listening.
One, Lakers, Warriors. There's no such thing as formatics.
So you went drifting on my Instagram account over the weekend because all of a sudden I got 5 likes in a row on 5 old pictures. And then, so John, at the end of the year on New Year's Eve, I posted like this collage of all, like a video collage of all the great moments from the last year, which a lot of people do, right? Yeah. Mace wrote, was a great year. It's April.
I was going to say.
Well, actually, now
that's
it's
a
May.
A delayed reaction.
And I was like, what is Mace on that he's just drifting through my Instagram account on a Saturday night at 10:30?
Now, I might have been an old-fashioned in at that point.
I didn't know you like, you know, all my pictures that
yeah,
late at night.
I have no idea how I wound up on it. Bergman says it was your pinned Instagram message, so it was the very
first
one.
But you
one
had
on
to
there.
Go to my account. That didn't just pop up 5 months later.
Yeah,
you
I was
went
not,
into my
I was
account.
Not looking for you, kid. I was not.
I
looking
think you
for
were.
You. No,
I think you were looking for love, as the great Jody Watley once said.
That is absolutely
Jody Watley, okay. Big sports radio listener,
big yes. listener to ESPN LA.
So Jody,
yeah.
Jody Watley. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right, 2 o'clock call of the day. Here we go. Ireland, pick a number, any number between 1 and 8.
4, since the Lakers need to win 4 games against
Numero
the Warriors.
Cuatro.
Let's go to Dennis in Santa Monica. Dennis, you're on 710. Don't ask us how we're doing.
Hi there, guys. John, you left out the San Antonio Spurs with those championship teams. The Tim Duncan Spurs won 5 rings.
Right, but they were more spread out, right? The first one was in 99, and the last one was in 2014.
Right. And they were boring.
Well, I find them interesting, but that's what makes, you know, sports betting.
Yes. Is that all you got, Dennis?
Yeah, just that I love the show.
Okay,
all right,
Dennis,
thank you,
we
Dennis.
Love you, man. Thank you.
All right, take another call. That didn't have much.
Okay, 1 through 9, except 4.
Let's take 3.
3. This is Tommy in Orange County. Tommy, you're on 710. What are you doing, man? Don't ask how we're doing.
I will not ask you guys how you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Real quick question. Since the Lakers are in the playoffs, and it's been a while, I just remember what happened during the bubble and how, I mean, that was kind of like a magical year.
Yeah.
So it's not so much the question that I have, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's on Laker fans' minds, is going forward, because we are now in the playoffs, is we went through pretty much heaven and hell this first part of the year,
yeah,
because of all the trades, all the, hey, let's do this, let's do that, and it looks like it's going to be good. The question that I have is, really, why did we blow up the team after the bubble? And is Rob Pelinka going to, like, depending on how far we go, or if this is it after the second round, I don't know, is he going to blow it up again because we have possible free agents, possibly we want some other people.
Right.
Like, I don't understand the logic. I'm an old school guy, so I kind of want consistency. So I'm afraid of what's going to happen at the end of the year, regardless of, you know, what happens.
Okay, well, a couple of things there. Number one, Rob's going to be on the show tomorrow, so make sure to listen to that. We'll talk to him about stuff like this. But, Mace, it wasn't like he blew up the team right away after the bubble championship. He brought that whole team back, and then they got bounced in the first round
right. The
next year. That was the year they lost 4-2 to the Suns.
Yep.
Then he blew it up. I think that they are going to try... And we'll ask Rob about this tomorrow, but I think they're going to try and bring back most of these guys next season. There was a report that a couple of different people at The Athletic reported that they're not going to get into the Kyrie sweepstakes.
Yeah, Tim Cato was the lead reporter on that.
And which I think if you're like the caller and you want the team to stay together, that's a good sign.
Yep.
But I think they're going to try. I mean, there's going to be guys like Austin Reeves who may get a ton of more money to go somewhere else. But we'll ask Rob about that. I think that they can at least make a competitive offer to keep him. And I think most of these other guys like D'Lo and Hachimura and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's going to be the best contract in the league next year.
Yeah, Hachimura and Vanderbilt, I think they can definitely pay. One's a restricted free agent. And one's,
Vanderbilt's already
signed
for $4.5
million.
Yeah, it's a team option for $4.5
million. Rui's a restricted.
Yeah.
D'Lo is an unrestricted, and Austin Reeves is a restricted, and I've read he could get $70 million.
So we'll see. I mean, but I don't think they're going to blow it up.
I don't think so. Not this group. And it is true, by the way, that the beginning of the season was just painful. And you go ahead, call me a flip-flopper. I thought the season was over. I didn't think they had a chance of digging out of it.
They were 2-10. You weren't the only one who
No, they were
that.
2-10. And then, you know, even during the season, I was like, Rob's got to do something at the trade deadline, went out and made a bunch of moves that nobody had even – it's like, you know, there are always rumors. We're going after this guy, we're going after this guy. At no point were guys like Jared Vanderbilt and Rui Hachimura necessarily on the radar in a big way. He just made all that stuff happen at once. I'm excited to talk to him tomorrow because, you know, and for my money, what he did this year, taking a team that started out 2-10 and really changing that roster completely at the trade deadline and having the team turn around and win 14 and 18?
18 and four. They've won 14 of their last 18 games.
Yeah. To have won four. I mean, it's amazing. And it's a tribute to Rob Pelinka, who if I had a vote, he'd be executive of the year. I mean, this team getting to where they are after starting out 2-10 is amazing.
I'm pretty confident that they're going to try and bring back most of these guys. But we'll let him answer that tomorrow. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Okay. So the Dodgers have lied to us, John.
What would they lied about?
They say, I shouldn't even say they say, they never made an offer to Trey Turner. Trey Turner says, and they're Phillies in town this week, the Dodgers have won 4 in a row. Trey Turner says they never made an offer, but he was open to staying on the West Coast, that whole East Coast narrative thing wasn't real, and he even considered staying on the West Coast to play for a West Coast team, which I assume was the Padres, because right after Trey Turner signed 10 years, 300 in Philadelphia, Xander Bogaerts signed 11 years, 280 in San Diego. So I assume the Padres were in it for Trey Turner. There's really no reason why the Dodgers couldn't have made a run at keeping Trey Turner, and how much better would this team be? This team would be a legit World Series contender with mm-hmm. Trey Turner. Without, it's a pretty ordinary baseball team.
I don't understand that, too. Turner was so steady and consistent in the year and a half that he was here. I mean, why wouldn't you at least try and sign him? Do you understand why they wouldn't try and sign him? I mean, were they that high on Gavin Lux and they figured he had to play? Is this Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love? Trey Turner's really good. I don't know why you wouldn't make an offer to Trey Turner. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Bergman, this is what made you crabby today.
We were just arguing in the conference room over this. But so basically, what it sounds like is in at the beginning of the year in spring training, they went to Trey Turner and they said, hey, how are you feeling? What's going on? And then they went over everything and said it looked like it was too high of a number. And what did he get? 10 years, $330 million, $300 million, whatever it happens to be.
Right.
It's a massive
10 years,
number
300.
That they weren't going to match. And so, of course, now Trey Turner can say whatever he feels like he's going to say. It's his narrative because
the
Dodgers aren't saying
anything. What reason does he have to lie? What reason does Trey
he can say
Turner
whatever he wants?
Make
he's in L.A. He doesn't have to say. He can say whatever he wants at this point. He did not want to be
Greg,
in
are
L.A.
Are you insinuating that Trey Turner is lying?
It's not that he's lying. He said that the Dodgers didn't offer him. It didn't seem
that
like
is
he
correct.
Won.
He said I considered a team on the West Coast that made an offer.
That made an
and
offer.
We assume it was the Padres.
Yeah, because Juan Soto was there, and that was his best friend.
And they lowballed him a little bit.
And they lowballed him, so they knew, knowing that he was going to go to the East Coast.
Again, he says the East Coast thing is not real.
He can say whatever he wants. It's his narrative.
But why would he lie?
But why would he tell you, yeah, no, 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 I didn't want to be here. I want to know part of this.
Yeah,
this team sucked. I hated every minute I was here.
So
of
here's,
he's not say
here's
that.
My t- I understand they're trying to save up money for Ohtani.
That's exactly what it is.
Why can't the Los Angeles Dodgers do both things? Why were they incapable of signing Trey Turner and signing Shohei Ohtani?
Well, let's say they're going to offer Ohtani $500-600 million.
Right.
Correct. 600 right? is probably what it takes, yeah.
Okay. So
plus the 300.
So I don't think, and keep in mind, if to sign Turner, you would have to sign him to a long-term deal, like a 10-year deal.
Correct.
You've already got Betts on that deal.
Yes, you do.
You've already got Freeman on that deal.
Yep.
At least for this year, you're paying Kershaw. Could you afford a fourth max guy, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, well, Freddie, remember, it was 6 years, 162, so he's not a $300 million guy.
Right.
It's a ton of money, but
You're talking about $900 million
can
between
the Los
two
Angeles,
players.
That's what the
two
Padres,
players.
That's what the Padres spent this offseason. They spent a billion. They spent a billion
but
dollars.
But like five or six guys.
And you guys, we're not saying the most important thing here. They might not get Ohtani.
Correct.
Which is why I would assign Turner.
By the way, and the Padres will potentially be in it for Shohei Ohtani. They don't care about the salary cap, and we used to not care about the salary cap, and all of a sudden we do.
So I just think it's funny. We talked all last year over and over again throughout all of summer that there was no way that Trey Turner was going to be a Dodger.
No,
it's not going to happen. He's not going to sign.
All I said was there was no conversations. There were no conversations.
No, but all year long, and John, you were a part of this too. There's like, he's not going to be a Dodger. He wants to play on the East Coast. And now he comes to L.A., and he said, yeah, of course I would have considered
right,
them.
I
what else
signed,
is he supposed to say?
I signed with the Padres.
No, I didn't want to come
said.
Here. I didn't want to
be signed with the Padres is what he said.
No, he said, I would have, absolutely, I would have considered them if they would have offered me something. Now, I do agree that the Dodgers should have offered him something. Not instead of offering him nothing.
Oh, so you do agree that
I think
the
they should
have offered
him something, whether you knew you were going to get him or not. You could have said 8 years, you know, $200 million, whatever it was, lowball the hell out of him. But they should have offered something so that at least there was some kind of contract
so
given to him.
Call me a flip flopper if this doesn't happen, but I don't think this team, this Dodger team, as currently constructed, is a World Series threat.
You know they're in first place, right?
They're not a World Series threat. I mean,
you just made the list.
It could be that the Dodgers at midseason trade for Shohei Ohtani. It could be that they revamp the bullpen completely. They may acquire a shortstop at the trade deadline. I'm saying, very similar to the Lakers, as constituted at the beginning of the year, they weren't going to win. As constituted right now, the Dodgers are not going to win the World Series. They've got their work cut out for them.
So I think it's different than the Lakers. The Lakers were a complete and utter disaster in the beginning.
And right.
I mean, with the wrong pieces all around them. With all the wrong pieces.
Dodgers just an ordinary team.
They're not the same team that they were, just a dynamic team that was just destroying everybody last year. But there's still a lot of the same guys. And all of this team, I absolutely think, you say it over and over again, Mace, that just make the tournament. Just make the tournament. If they make the tournament, they can absolutely win the whole thing. Because that's what happens in the playoffs.
But you agree this is a pretty ordinary baseball team.
I think this is a much more ordinary team that we've seen in years past, yes. But no, I think this team is still much better than a lot of teams in all of baseball. I think they're still a top, 10 team in baseball?
They're 14-11.
They're in first place.
The starting rotation is
Clayton Kershaw,
and four guys who are spotty at best, including Julio Urías, who's had three bad starts and has given up six home runs in the last three games.
So he's had three bad starts, but if you were a betting man, which are your mythical money, wouldn't you think he would turn it around?
I would bet on Julio Urías, especially in a contract year.
Absolutely. And I would probably bet on Dustin May to figure out his stuff, get more strikeouts, get back on track. I would figure that Tony Gonsolin starts to look more like the Tony Gonsolin of last year.
But you see how many question marks you're dealing with.
There are a lot of question marks, absolutely. But
shortstop,
I still think
second base. There are question marks all over the field. You put Mookie Betts at shortstop.
I never thought that I would actually say this, but I kind of like Mookie at shortstop now.
I don't think they've got an option.
They don't.
Offensively, they don't have an option.
And I think once you get to the trade deadline, they're going to make some kind of move to get to where they need to be.
And maybe that's the
They're not going to just give up on the season.
Maybe that's
like
the move
Rams.
That changes it. John, do you think this team is currently constituted as a World Series champion?
Possibly. I don't hate them as much as you do. And the reason I think that is because the rest of the division, even the Padres with all that talent, hasn't done anything. It's not like anybody in the West has been like the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, I think every team in the West is pretty bunched up, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Nobody anticipated that the Diamondbacks would be as good as they are.
Right, but if the season ended today, the Dodgers would be in the tournament.
They would be in the tournament. Yep, that's absolutely
right. Once you're in,
right.
You just got to get lucky.
Yeah, I think
and then you go after Ohtani.
I think it's an ordinary baseball team. An ordinary baseball team, especially compared to the teams we've seen the last few years.
Above 500.
If you add Ohtani, that all changes.
Of course. If you add him at the trade deadline, I think they potentially become the World Series favorites. That's how big Ohtani is.
Yeah, I don't think the Angels are going to trade him, but I think they can get him at the end of the year.
All right. Coming up next for you. John, people are doing the most annoying stuff with their phones. I saw it now two mornings in a row. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. Plus, we continue to get you ready for Game 1, Lakers versus Warriors. You will hear it right here. Slee with the pre at 5:30. The call of the game at 7. John Ireland and a very, very divided Michael Thompson. He will join us at 3 o'clock. Talk about the calling the Lakers, being employed by the Lakers, and calling a game that involves his son on the other team. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Did Morales just take the rest of the day off? Is that what's going on? He just knocked off the day, and now we're stuck with Yacht Rock?
He wanted you to still just listen to Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock and no Morales?
He knew that John liked it.
Where is the energy, people?
What are you talking about? I'm like bouncing off the walls. I wish this game started now.
But around here, Bergman's cranky, Morales is tired. Oh, it's like, come on, guys.
We were just feisty. We were just going back and forth.
You got me all fired up. Let's up the energy. All right. So don't forget, you can meet us in person in the OC Cinco de Mayo this Friday at Solita Tacos and Margaritas in Anaheim for a Cinco de Mayo fiesta. We got Angels tickets. We got Solita gift cards. And we got Mandy Awards tickets. It all starts at 10 a.m. You can join Travis and Slee and me in Ireland and Shadano and Cap and the entire 710 crew at Anaheim's hottest new restaurant, Solita Tacos and Margaritas. Light the fire within and feed your soul. By the way, you know what we haven't talked a lot about, John? We have not talked about Mandy Awards voting. I know you don't care
right.
Who wins what or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we want to win Show of the Year again. I think that is significant. I think
if we win, we should give it to Travis and Slee so they don't go home empty-handed.
You
again.
Think so?
Yeah.
Do you think they would
what
take
it? What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
What if you threw it at him, John?
No.
No, see, nobody understood what I was doing with that, Greg. And I will, I've explained this as bizarro Seinfeld. Even Mason thought I had gone crazy.
Yeah, I thought you kind of lost it a little.
And Amanda was the one person that got it, and she's leaving. So I'm done doing bits that involve shows other than ours.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only going to throw things at Mason and you.
Which you're always free to.
Yes.
You're always free to throw stuff at us. I don't even take it personally.
The reaction of that show and of Morales and everybody who wasn't in our show was astounding to me. So I'm done doing bits with people outside of our show.
Yeah, stick with our bits.
Exactly.
How big is his ass?
All right, so we have got game one coming up tonight. We're excited about that. We got the big broadcast on Friday. John, now here's a question. Now, I said you're going to be there. Are you going to be there?
When?
Friday.
I think so. Depend. I mean, if we fly home Thursday night, which is the plan right now, then I'll be there Friday. But I'm kind of at the mercy of what they decide to do.
Oh, hang on a second. Listen to this.
Vote for the Mason and Ireland show. This message is paid for by Mason.
There you go.
By the way, Thursday's show is going to be a very big show for you guys.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, John is going to be still in Golden State, right?
Yep. And yeah, I've got to bail early on that day because the game's early. I'm gonna be on till 3:15.
So because of that, we're going to have a three-man/woman weave. Ramona is going to join us for the whole show. Momo will be here, so it'll be three of you.
So it'll be me, Ireland, and Momo,
yes.
And then Ireland will take off, and then me and Momo leading up to pregame.
Right.
Oh, that's big. That is a big show. So, Ireland, here's what I don't understand. We do that bit where you call somebody on your phone. You know, we've booked guests by holding our phone up to the microphone and doing all this. Here's what I don't understand. Why do people think it's okay to talk with somebody on their speakerphone in public?
I am so glad you brought this up because it happens all the time. And I don't understand it. And I'm always wondering, should I say something to them?
Right. Isn't that between you and the person on the phone? Like, I don't need to be part of both sides of the conversation. It's rude, I think.
Yeah, and people just don't seem to worry about it. You know, it's like, I don't understand it, but I'm with you. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Bergman, do you run into that?
Yeah, I actually do it sometimes.
Why do you do it sometimes?
Yeah, because I don't like to put the phone up to my ear. It just doesn't feel right.
But you realize
right.
I don't need to hear what the other person is
saying.
I
try not
to
do it while people are around, but if I'm walking and there's nobody around, and I just leave it on speakerphone.
Like, I don't mind hearing your part. I just don't think I should hear their part on the phone conversation.
You shouldn't hear anybody's part.
Right, Jorge,
are
you polite on this?
Yeah, I usually hold my phone up.
Yeah, hold your phone up to your ear.
Nah, if I'm just walking around
and
there's no one around, I don't
Standard
care.
Standard rule. All right, so Ireland... the one thing I'll say, we were talking about the Dodgers a little. Here's the one encouraging thing about the Dodgers that I find right now. First
You're not
of all,
jumping off the bandwagon anymore?
They've won four in a row. I'm happy about that. So they have gone now 11 innings with the bullpen and only allowed two earned runs. So the bullpen, and Dave Roberts has continued to go to Vesia and Almonte, they've only allowed two earned runs in the last 11 innings. One was Phil Bickford last night.
God, Phil Bickford, such a
Bickford!
Joke.
Bickford! But I think the bullpen is rounding into form.
It is starting to round into form, but you also, I mean, Bickford came into a bases loaded and he immediately gave up a single, so.
He did.
He doesn't. I just don't trust Bickford at all at this point. I don't know why we're even still going to him. And Vesey is a little bit of a problem, even though he's been okay.
Vesey has sort of straightened it out.
Hopefully.
And I think Yency Almonte had one of his best performances this last weekend. So I think
hopefully
if they get those arms right, I think they got a shot. You know, this John, am I a flip-flopper? Seriously, this is starting to really annoy me.
About what?
Call me a flip-flopper. Go ahead, call me a flip-flopper.
Yeah, you flip-flop more than anybody I've ever met.
Now, what's wrong with flip-flopping? What's the downside of flip-flopping?
Well, what hurts you is that you take pretty passionate positions on one side.
That is my job.
And then you just switch to the other side like it's nothing.
When I need to.
Every day.
Yeah, when I need to. Like, here's the thing. You've got to be, like, on the rails. You know, you're the voice of the Lakers, all that stuff. Sedano's in the league. He's got to be, you know, a certain way. I just come in here and talk about what's pissing me off and who played bad and who I think we should get rid of, all that kind of stuff. They brought up yesterday that I gave up on Matthew Stafford. There is a point during the Super Bowl year where I said he'd gone back-to-back-to-back games throwing pick sixes, and I had lost hope with Matthew Stafford.
Right. Now, you also wanted to trade Anthony Davis.
I did want to trade Anthony Davis when we were 2-10, and I saw no point. Rob Pelinka revolutionized the roster at the trade deadline, and it's a completely different story. But I make my mind up based on new information. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right, but I think that you'd be a terrible GM.
I would be.
You'd be knee-jerk.
I would be knee-jerk.
Like,
exactly.
If you went on a four-game losing streak, you would trade Mookie Betts after that Pittsburgh series when he went 0-12.
It would be like having a fan as your GM.
Right.
Which you don't want. But I'm a fan.
Right.
That's why there's flip-flop. I come in, I say what I think, and I don't think there's anything wrong with flip-flopping.
Well, I'm glad you think that because you do it a lot.
Do you think there's anything wrong with flip-flopping?
I think because you do it so much, like John says, that it becomes a problem. Yeah. Because right now you're talking about the Dodgers and how they're not a championship team.
They're
not going to the World Series.
Baseball team.
And then in 2 months you're going to say, this is a World Series championship team.
If Andrew Friedman does something at the trade deadline, I will be sold. But as of this moment, I don't think this team, the way it's constructed, is a... I mean, you get into the tournament, but they're not a dynamic team. It's a pretty ordinary baseball team.
So if in 2 months before the trade deadline, let's say before anything happens at the trade deadline, they're in first place by 15 games.
I will be thrilled.
Still going to say that it didn't happen at the trade deadline?
I will be happy to be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah,
but that's not flip-flopping.
I'm
then you're saying
for
you're wrong.
This is like you picking Memphis
but I
to
stuck
beat
with
the
it.
Lakers
but
in
I stuck
six.
With it.
You stuck with it.
Right,
correct.
But I didn't flip-flop.
You did not flip-flop.
Mason, or Greg, how do you think the Warriors series is going to go?
I actually have Lakers in six.
So do I.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, we're like the only ones.
Jorge, what do you have?
Seven.
Jorge says it takes seven.
But we're all four of us taking the Lakers?
Yeah, Lakers.
Yeah, all taking the Lakers. Hell yes.
Yeah, most experts are taking the Warriors.
Yeah, most are. I saw that story you sent from The Athletic. They talked to the anonymous execs.
Yeah, anonymous coach, anonymous scout, anonymous GM, all picked the Warriors.
Yep.
That's okay.
No,
I don't mind
good.
Being the underdog.
It's nothing wrong with being the underdog. I love Lakers plus 4.5 tonight. I think tonight's the night we steal it. Go ahead, call me a flip-flopper. Yeah, go ahead, call me a flip-flopper.
Well, tonight, if the Lakers lose, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be right about Lakers in six.
Correct. It's nothing. And I'm not going to change my pick at any point. I'm going to say I took Lakers in six. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't...
But that's not flip-flopping. That's saying you're wrong. If you would have said, if let's say they lose tonight,
right.
And you went, it's Warriors in six, that's a flip-flop.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
No, then you're sticking
Even
with
the Even if they lose tonight, it's still going to be Lakers in six. But I think tonight's the night they steal. All right, coming up next for you, John, should you sleep in the nude if your neighbors can sometimes see you? I got that story coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, here it is. Summer breeze, Seals and Croft. You know what? Summer is coming,
summer,
baby.
Summer.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. Now, don't forget, Lakers basketball's tight tonight.
Yeah.
Coverage begins at 5:30. It is a Lakers game day Tuesday presented by our friends at Michelob Ultra. You mentioned your tease about sleeping in the nude.
Yeah.
So since you've been stalking my Instagram.
I have not been.
Friday afternoon.
Stumbled upon something.
You know, we're at Salida
in
Anaheim, right off the 57 at Catella, where the Hooters used to be.
Correct, yeah.
That's 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, nice.
You come over and sleep in the nude all night if you want.
At all.
I'll put on
Chris,
Seals
did
and
you
Croft.
Say it's where the Hooters used to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it relocate?
The Hooters? It is a final.
It is a
final.
Oh,
no. Well, Chris, when I see you on Friday, I'd like to hoist one for the Hooters girls.
And I have
a
gift for you on Friday, too.
Excellent.
So here's the story. We mentioned the sleeping in the nude. Morales, you can participate in this. So this is what the guy writes. I'm a 28-year-old dude, been living in my house for a few years now. One of the main reasons I chose this place was because my bedroom faced east, allowing me to wake up to morning sunlight. Most mornings I wake up before my alarm goes off because the sunlight comes through, and I like to sleep in the nude.
Bam!
Recently, my neighborhood expanded and most of the tree line my bedroom was facing was cut down to build new houses. So boom, he actually writes, so boom.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's a house that's built right across from mine and their window has a clear view into my bedroom. I've always been comfortable sleeping in the nude. It wasn't an issue when there were no neighbors around. But not long after the people moved in, the father from the house came over to the house and pretty much told me to stop being a nude in front of my window since family can see inside my bedroom. He wasn't nice about it. So I believe in personal liberty. I believe I would not change a thing if I was this guy. This is my house. This is my dwelling. This is my abode. This is my kingdom. If I want to sleep nude, I want to sleep nude.
By the way, I basically agree with everything you said, and I'll take it a step further. If this neighbor, this family man, father dude, came over and said, hey, just want to let you know, we can see inside your window. You're running around naked, and I don't want my kids to see it. Can you stop? I would say, I'd be happy to stop if you pay for the shades.
Right.
I'll put shades over the window.
There you go. Sure.
But
yeah,
I don't feel like
morning light.
Yeah, well, you can still get, like right now, I'm in a hotel room that has blackout drapes, and it has shears.
Sure.
All you need is shears.
Shears. Shears.
And I think the neighbor should pay for the shears.
Now, Morales,
you?
I think I know where you go with this.
Well, there's always got to be a morning after, as somebody once said.
Is that from Billy Jack? Chris?
No, that is from
Marine
McGovern.
Marine McGovern.
Poseidon Adventure.
There has to be a morning after. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So where would you go with it? You would. Which side of this are you on?
Well, I don't understand.
His windows are
so clear and perfectly crisp. Somebody could see in?
Think about
correct.
That. Why are they looking in?
So they cut down the trees.
I get it.
Right? And so now they can see in. To me, it's on the people who cut down the trees.
And it's also, why are you looking in my house?
Yeah, why are you looking
at me? Why don't you look at yourself being nude?
You looking at me?
Yeah.
You looking at me?
You are looking at me.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you know, don't be offensive to people. It's not like he's going outside in nude.
No. It's just if you want to wake up in the sun and you want to be in the buff, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer. Like, I wonder sometimes when I go through right now I'm not smoking a lot of weed. But sometimes I've gone through periods where I have.
Yes.
And Juan will say, what will the neighbors think? And I say.
About the weed?
About the weed smell.
Oh.
I say, I don't care. This is my backyard. I'm going to smoke weed if I want to smoke weed. That is my business, right?
Absolutely. I smoke a lot of cigars in my backyard. There's a house right next door.
Right. And it's like, that's your yard.
That's my yard.
This is my house. This is my yard. I'll do what I want. It's personal liberty. That's what it's all about.
I find it somewhat stunning that there's another side to this.
Is there another side to
it? Like, if you were playing insanely loud music.
Right.
And a baby was trying to sleep, I might be a little sympathetic.
Sure.
But if you want to sleep nude, if you want to smoke weed, that's completely up to you.
Yeah, I don't think it's
There's your drop. Yeah, Bergman?
So, I mean, I think sleeping nude, you can do whatever you want. It's more of the walking around and through and standing at your window that's... And really, you just should just tell your kids.
Yeah, was the guy, like, putting on a show?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like.
It doesn't sound like. It sounds like he just liked to wake up in the morning light
and
stretch.
Walked around and did his thing.
Did stretch.
Or you know what he could do, Chris? He could move to Chatsworth, and then he'd feel right at home.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But he'd just tell the kids to, like, put your window shade down.
Yeah, you put your shades down. You're not buying me shades. You put your shades down. Exactly. All right. So
don't be naked around
my
kids.
Personal
I wonder if he's got something to show. You get what I mean?
That's not something I thought of.
That's something I thought of.
Yes, I know. I know.
But by the way, Mace, I did 30 milligrams last night, still only got 5 hours. I think it's worn off.
No, it doesn't wear off.
That's a lot.
Go to 40.
Yeah. Go to 40.
Yeah, go to 40.
Really? Milligrams?
Yeah, go to 40.
Like, I was told 20 was a lot.
No. Who told you that?
The guy at the depot.
Mace is Dr. Feelgood.
The dispo.
The dispo.
Mace is the new Dr. Feelgood of the bunch.
Go 40.
Yeah, I don't want to be like Michael Jackson and wake up.
It's not propofol. It's just a little cannabis.
Okay.
Just a little THC.
Well, isn't 40 a lot of cannabis?
No, I mean, it's as tolerated.
All right.
As tolerated.
Okay, but I'll try something different tonight and report back to you.
So it's 30 really isn't working.
Well, 30, it got me 5 hours. I went to bed at 11. I woke up at 4.
You know, there's something wrong with you. You realize
I know. Well, that we know. The question is, how do I address it?
Yeah, I mean, you've tried everything. Have you tried NyQuil?
Oh, yeah. Please. NyQuil's for kids.
Yeah, NyQuil. When I was doing morning drive, I used NyQuil all the... Do not use
Ambien
this stuff,
works, but I don't want to take Ambien every night. That's the spot I'm
Don't in. You like sleepwalk when you do Ambien?
No.
You don't like go to the kitchen or the mini bar at the hotel when you take some Ambien?
No, I had a friend that did that once. Walked into the... We had a bunch of people over in the apartment. This was when I was in college.
Yep.
He walked over to a chair.
Right.
He lifted the cushion on the chair. He peed in the chair, said goodnight, and went back to bed.
Oh, my God.
But that's not me. I don't sleepwalk. I don't talk in my sleep. I just... The only thing that conks me out is Ambien, and I don't want to take it every day, so... I don't know.
Can I ask you just an honest question?
Yeah, sure.
Why don't you want to take it every day?
My doctor told me that you don't want to get hooked on it because then eventually that will wear off and then you're in real trouble.
Huh. According to him. I say go to 40.
But I'm going back to him Monday. I have a checkup Monday, so I'll run it by him.
Go to 40.
All right.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
I also could just try a different... I have different gummies, like different people, so I'll try...
You want to make sure you're taking the indica.
Okay, I'll check.
Yeah. That's what you need.
We'll do it live!
All right. Coming up next for you, we'll do it live. What's Up, Fool? Brought to you by Dos Hombres. It's coming up next. Game one tonight. Lakers versus Warriors. LeBron versus Steph. You'll hear it right here. 7 o'clock the tip with John Ireland and Michael Thompson. And Michael will join us at 3. Of divided loyalties.
By the way.
Yeah. Clay on the Warriors and works for the Lakers.
He doesn't know what he's going to do.
He will join us at 3. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Live Image Cheek Tuesday on Mason in Ireland.
Oh, the off the air stuff is really
quarter
good
before
too.
3 p.m. Let's do What's Up, Fool. It is time for What's Up, Fool. And we always have a special voiceover guy now for What's Up, Fool. Hit it.
What's Up, Fool is brought to you by Dos Hombres Mezcal. It's fate. It's friendship. It's mezcal. Dos Hombres.
Thank you, Mr. Cranston. Take it away, Corporate Craig.
Thanks a lot, Chris. And I just love the fact that Brian Cranston is the guy that leads into all this.
Yeah, so do I. And he just nailed
better.
It.
Yeah.
It's just great. So good. All right, so it kind of looks
keep
like...
that after you fire us and just keep using it.
Yep.
We can use him as the AI and just make sure you guys
go
away. Yeah, I think that'd be great. All right, so it kind of looks like the Suns are cooked at this point, down 0-2 to Denver Nuggets. But KJM this morning talked about whether or not Kevin Durant, gets a pass if they are knocked out because he only played 8 games in the regular season. So, Ireland, does he?
Good question. I think that if they go down, Phoenix, if they get swept, which I don't think they will, that is an indictment on KD, although it's hard to create instant chemistry. He's only been on the team, you know, since February. But if the Lakers end up going deep into the playoffs and the Suns peter out, they can't really use that for an excuse. So
it's absolutely an indictment on KD.
I would agree, yeah.
He blew up one team to get to another where he thought he could get a ring. If that team doesn't get the ring, that's an indictment on Kevin Durant and his ring-chasing ways.
And it would also be that Durant never has a ring without Steph Curry.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Very good point. Yeah, it's absolutely an indictment. I don't think they'll get swept, but I do think after looking at it, and by the way, Andy Kamenetsky, way ahead of the curve here when Phoenix was winning their last series, he said they're not that good. They're not that good, and Denver's demonstrated so far that they're not that good. I think Denver is going to win the series, but they won't get swept, and I think it is an indictment on Kevin Durant.
What's up, Fool?
All right, so I saw a BuzzFeed article today while I was just scrolling through stuff, and that's all AI-generated now, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing is. All right, so...
Still, some good stuff comes out of it.
Yeah, sure. But it was about which movie death caught you off guard the most. So I'm going to take TV out of this, because I'm assuming you're both going to say Ned Stark is probably both of yours, but...
Actually, it would be Zoe from... House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah.
Okay.
She just got pushed in front of a chain.
Anyway, movies only. Movies only. What is the most shocking movie death?
Most shocking movie death.
Great question.
This is what came to mind. There's a movie called, this is going back now, a movie called Dress to Kill.
No, I don't know.
Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson.
Right?
Okay, so do you remember how that movie starts, John?
I don't.
Angie Dickinson is like cruising through a museum and catches sight of another of a guy. And they sort of flirt back and forth. And they get in a cab. They go back to her place. She gets killed. Like right off the bat. You think the movie is about the Angie Dickinson character, immediately gets killed. So that's the first thing that popped into my mind. It's not a very good one, but that's what popped into my mind. I'm trying to think of unexpected movie deaths.
Do you have
one? I got one. Sam Jackson.
That's what I was going to go with. Deep Blue Sea.
Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea. Right. He's like giving a great big rousing, we're going to get through this speech. Big shark jumps up and just takes him right out of the...
Just bam, right on top of him.
Eats him. That's right. A good one.
So I've got two of them.
Okay.
But I didn't think DiCaprio was going to die in The Departed.
Oh, that was the one I was going to pick.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one.
Maybe I was naive because almost everybody dies in that movie. But I didn't think, you know, he's such a big star. I didn't think he was going to get it. And the other one was in the original Top Gun, I was surprised they killed off Goose as early as they did. You know, yeah. when he died. Those are the two that popped into my head.
What about Brad Pitt in Burn After Reading?
Brad Pitt and Burn After Reading is great. By the way, Burn After Reading, Ireland, put this on your list. It's Coen Brothers. It is so funny. It's Brad Pitt. It's Clooney. Richard Jenkins, George Clooney, Frances McDormand. Really, really funny movie. But you're right. Brad Pitt got, well, now it's kind of spoiled. Yeah, Brad Pitt gets it early.
But it kind of comes out of nowhere. You're like, whoa. Yeah. Oh, all right.
It did jump out.
Do you have another one, Jorge, or no?
Oh, no, that was the...
By the way, the best one is the Sam Jackson.
Oh, it's so good.
John, you've never seen that?
What movie?
Deep Blue Sea. Just up. Just Google Sam Jackson, Deep Blue Sea on YouTube. You will laugh your ass off. It is so funny.
It is pretty funny.
What's up, foo?
All right, what's up, foo? Okay, so you know the Met Gala is going on.
Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah, so I saw something interesting on Twitter. And then Doja Cat, she's a singer.
Yep.
She was interviewed by Vogue.
Yep.
And it was a very interesting interview. I got a little bit of it here.
Okay.
Okay, so tell me all about this. Meow. I mean, who made it?
Meow.
Wow. Okay, so something a little different. So, what was your inspiration for tonight? Be honest with me and go into detail.
Meow. Meow.
All right, so you guys get the point.
Obviously, she was dressed as a Doja Cat.
Exactly. Yes. She was dressed as a cat.
Well, did you guys see what Jared Leto wore?
Yeah, he was dressed like a cat also, was he not?
Oh, was he? Okay, so if I were to ask you a question, mm-hmm. and you have to impersonate an animal, how would you respond? Ireland, here's your question.
Okay.
How do you feel about tonight, Lakers and Warriors game one? That's really good. And I'm assuming you're answering as a monkey.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Greg.
Very excited.
Greg, here's your question. When was the last time you rode your Peloton?
Because the giraffe.
What are you, a cow?
No, the giraffe.
It's a giraffe from earlier last week. All right. And then, Mason, why are you such a flip-flopper?
You just sound like you're snoring. What the hell?
Was that supposed
that was
to
an
be?
Elephant.
Oh, okay.
That is a sick elephant.
That's not an elephant?
That elephant has the flu.
Sounds like a dying cat.
No, that's an elephant. I've been around elephants. I know exactly what I'm talking.
All right, that's it. I just wanted to see
good
what
question.
Animals.
Good question. It is an elephant.
Makes a good promo, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
What's
all
up, fool?
What's up, fool?
All right, so Jorge's walking away.
So Shams Charania reported today that the Memphis Grizzlies will not bring back Dylan Brooks under any circumstances.
Wow.
He seemed to be a guy that kind of fit their mantra and style, but now they want no part of him after his poor postseason. So what's Dylan's next stop, John?
Well, he might have to do a rehab stint, like for a low-paid deal. He is kind of a 3-and-D guy.
He does play some defense.
Right.
Didn't against LeBron, but does.
So my guess is he'll go to an established team where he doesn't need to be a starter. He'll go to like the Celtics, the Lakers, the Sixers, somebody that can cut him if he doesn't behave. But it just depends what kind of money's out there.
Boy, had he not pulled all this trash during the playoffs, I think he would have been with Memphis, and I think he would have gotten not a big deal, but I think they would have retained him, don't you think?
Right, because he can defend, there is a place for him in the NBA, but he's going to probably have to build his reputation back up.
If you ask Dylan Brooks about it, you know what he would say?
You sound like my dog
it's
snoring.
It's an elephant. It's an elephant.
That's exactly what it is, a dog snoring. Lola does that all the time. This is not an elephant.
Somebody, Carlo, one of our listeners, says, damn, that elephant is on his last legs.
I mean, Andy would always do this.
Roars!
Roars! All right, so I probably should hit the button one more time.
What's up, fool?
All right, so I ordered from an Italian restaurant instead of my typical sub sandwich or burrito the other night because I wanted to treat myself a little bit on Saturday.
Sure.
I ordered gnocchi. And it was delicious, and I love it so much. Really enjoyed it.
How expensive, though?
It wasn't that bad. It was just, but it was, I wanted to treat myself, John.
All right.
So what is your go-to Italian meal?
Chicken Parmesan.
Ooh, so good. So good.
It's good. It's great. Like, my favorite restaurant, Slay, has, like, the world's greatest chicken Parmesan. You could get it, you could eat it every night. So that's, if you can do it right, Chicken Parmesan's the home run.
Have you ever had it stuffed? Like, you put the cheese inside?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Good.
Man. Dear John's, by the way, which you've never been. I've never been to Slay. You've never been to Dear John's. Maybe we should flip restaurants night. But they've got a killer chicken parm, too. We used to, it was a tradition of my family, that we used to eat gnocchi the day after Thanksgiving every year. Because gnocchi is made with mashed potatoes, and you always had extra mashed potatoes left over after Thanksgiving dinner, so you made gnocchi. My go-to is spaghetti bolognese. I love just a really nice bolognese and with the little slices of carrot that are in there. And
Greg,
let me say this.
If you can ever get into, it's got a very long waiting list, but Mason got in over the weekend. If you can ever get into a restaurant called Felix in Venice, that's an Italian restaurant, everything on the menu there is spectacular.
And it's not super expensive.
No, how did you get in? Did you just call?
We got the senior seating.
You're there at 4 o'clock.
5:15 dinner. So, you know. But you can get a 5:15, and it's totally worth it. The food was fantastic, and it's not crazy expensive.
Jorge, do you have an Italian go-to?
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Oh, eggplant parm. I forgot about eggplant parm. That's another good one.
Yeah, lasagna's mine.
Yeah.
All right.
What's up, fool?
So this is one of yours, John, but DraftKings, which already has deals with John Skipper, Dan Le Batard, and Bill Simmons, announced that they are starting a new video service with podcasts. They also hired a former ESPN exec to run it. Are we headed for a world where sports and gambling will be linked permanently, or are we already there?
I think we're pretty much there. Like, that show Kay Adams does in the morning, isn't that on FanDuel?
Yes.
Yeah, Michelle Beadle does a show on FanDuel.
Yeah, I think we're there. Mason and I one day could end up working for one of those people.
Well, here's the thing, though. We don't know a lot about... I mean, granted, I win a lot of bets, but I don't know... I can't talk about gambling the way Anita Marks talks about...
But I don't think, like, for example, I don't think Kay Adams talks a lot about gambling. I think they're just using it as a vehicle. I don't think Beadle talks that much about gambling.
Okay, yeah, then we can definitely be on there. Yeah, no, I think the future is gambling. I mean... It's going to happen sooner or later that it will be federally legalized. It's not right now. The state of California, I'm not sure what's going on because God knows. I know it's an argument between the tribes, and we're you know, there many of them are our teammates here, our sponsors here, and the FanDuel side of things, the DraftKings side of things. Hopefully they get that all worked out and we're able to start gambling. I know that, for example, at Hollywood Park Casino, where I often go and play cards, they're ready for a sports book. Like, they want a sports book in there. You can tell. But I think it's just a matter of time. I don't know when California figures it out, but eventually it will, and it is absolutely the future. People will be gambling on everything.
What's up, fool?
That'll do it.
All right. Coming up next for you. Oh, he's so torn. He's the employee of the Los Angeles Lakers as color analyst. His son is playing for the other team. Michael Thompson will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.